From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. And instead of doing Rock Month this year in 2020, a year of upheaval, a year of change, we're doing Doc Month. It rhymes. So, you know, it should be good. We're going to be looking at documentaries this month. I'm Hunter, and I'm coming to you from Brother Neville's movie archive in the ruins of a video store where, because movies aren't allowed anymore. So, and joining me in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado is Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Hello.
And in the wild outback of Australia, Stuart Balk. Say hello, Stu.
Like, yeah, like, hi. Like, everyone.
Stuart's got the vocal fry going.
No, I just like feeling really sorry for myself. Like, I want to die. Because I just watched this documentary.
Oh, God, these kids, I wanted to fucking strangle them. They were annoying me.
So the movie, the first documentary we're doing to kick off Doc Month is my pick.
No shit.
It's That Feel When No GF, TFW No, which is part of the virtual South by Southwest selection this year for 2020. It caught my attention because the poster is two Wojaks hugging each other. And I figured this movie has to be worth seeing. And so, and what the documentary is about, it's directed by Alex Lee Moyer, who's an editor. I think it's her first movie as a director. But it's a documentary about incels, right? About like those people, like, you know, the media is always talking about those incels, those people who are scary and evil.
Incels, the lifeless incels, as opposed to their counterpart, the Duracells with energy. I gotcha.
So, yeah, this one, it actually features one guy that I actually have followed on Twitter for a while. His name is Cantbot.
Oh, yeah. You followed him, did you?
God. Yeah, oh, yeah, I followed Cantbot for a while.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Cantbot caught my attention because he trolls Stefan Molyneux. And he does it really well. Like, he gets under Molyneux's skin. It's really funny.
Like, I started following him like a week ago after watching this, but I haven't seen that yet, but that's hilarious.
Oh, Molyneux did a video where he was sitting there musing, and he goes, "And one thing I keep hearing is debate can't bot." And I mean, the guy just, well, he's just not worthy. And that's all I'm going to say. And Cantbot will like post
Mitchell.
Cantbot's like, well, well, well. if you go to Cantbot's page and go to those things, it's so fun to just pile on. Because when he posted that video, I posted a GIF of Neil Patrick Harrison, Starship Troopers, touching the brain bug's head and going, "It's afraid."
this Cantbot guy is like, I want the piss in his eyes. He was annoying me so much.
He's annoying because of his physical, you know, presence and everything, what he lacks in it. But his Twitter is hilarious.
Yeah,
he's actually really funny on Twitter.
Yeah, like, there's a guy that I know who isn't, he has no online presence, but he comes to me to explain. He's like, explain like the internet politics, the internet political stuff and all this stuff to me. And I sent him a link to this documentary and I was like, look, this is actually a pretty interesting kind of pearl clutch free look at it. And I was like, and I said, I've sent him CampBot tweets before. And I was like, it's got CampBot in it. So you might want to check it out because he's really funny. But yeah, no, he's annoying because he's kind of physically repulsive, right?
Right.
No. That's a bit tough, isn't it?
Well, he looks like an obese 13-year-old that smokes cigarettes.
Yes. Yeah. He's walking around New York smoking
morbid. Morbidly obese too. I mean, yeah. Right.
And they've got those jihadi beards these days. Why do they grow those things? Women don't like it.
Wife was like, "What's on his face? He's got pubes on his face."
He reminded me of that Beavis and Butthead episode where they're like, "We got beards." They got those.
No, that was something with several of the dudes in this movie. They had like really bad facial hair, and I don't know. There's something about when you're fat. Speaking as a former fat man, you're sort of, I don't know. It's hard. You have a really bizarre, poor self image, I guess.
Yeah.
And you don't kind of understand. You don't understand what makes you physically repulsive. Like, and there's little things he could do, like shave,
right,
just to slightly improve his appearance. And it gets worse. Like he looks worse later in the film.
Oh, he looks terrible. I want to touch upon something you just raised, though, just quickly. Sorry, I've known you, Hunter, for 10 or 11 years now, and you've transformed. Like I've never seen anybody transform from a big guy to like a bloody male model now, basically. But you were saying about how facial hair and you sort of give up when you're bigger, but now you said to me a while back you'll never grow a beard again, right? Now you've slimmed right down.
I used the beard to hide my fat face. So that's why.
Yeah. You look nice too. Yeah.
When I lost weight, I could see myself, and I actually couldn't believe how much I look like men on my mother's side of the family when I lost weight. I didn't see that before.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But no, I said I wouldn't grow two reasons I won't grow a beard. One, wife doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big one.
Yeah.
But another one is that I feel I look very good clean shaven. That's it.
I think men do. I don't think there's many men out there with a beard, okay, not mustache. Beard that really enhances their looks. Now, if you're talking mustache, some guys like Burt Reynolds looks better with it. Some guys like Tom Selleck look better with it.
My wife would let me, I would try the mustache. My dad looked good with a mustache.
Okay. Like Sam Elliott looks better with a mustache. Some guys just have that it factor with it. But beards, full-blown beards, I've never seen someone with one where women just go, yes. Yeah,
there's some chicks who do, but they're rare, you know.
I mean, I've done it all. I've done mustaches, beards. I'm like, fuck, never again. Just clean shaven now. That's it. It's just
You know, I think a beard looked good on Charles Manson. I think you have to admit. Sure.
Yeah, of course. You know,
I think Charlie's looking pretty sharp there.
Well, yeah. John, you've had a big
Rob Zombie.
Yeah, Rob Zombie. Yeah. Yeah, but Rob Zombie's more wispy. He's like a, Fu Manchu sort of beard these days.
Well, I tried to grow a Charles Bronson-style mustache one time, but it didn't look like Charles Bronson on me. It looked like, it made me look like Bud Abbott. So I just quit that.
Well, John, I've seen that picture of you with that big Bee Gees beard. It was like...
Yeah. No, I grew a beard for a while because my wife liked it. And it's like...
Really?
I could grow a pretty good beard and... get the 70s rocker, yacht rocker look going on or whatever, or Mansonite, whatever you want to call it. And I grew it and I was kind of comfortable with it, but the hippies or the hipsters kind of made it annoying to have a beard and can't have it in warm weather because it's just itchy. Your skin dries and everything, especially in Colorado.
Yeah.
So I went to clean shaven.
Yeah. Anyway, off the beards. Sorry. I was just had to ask that question.
Right.
All right.
No, it's a good No, it's a good thing to look at. But I think, you know, Cantbot's probably one of two guys who's like quasi-famous in this.
I'd never heard of him. I heard of none of them.
There's, well, I only knew of the dude who got red flagged because he was in the news.
Right.
Oh, that Charles.
I heard of him.
Yeah.
So this documentary, let's just kind of talk about the premise. It follows several of these incel guys. They go on the R9K boards on 4chan. They're on Twitter. And a lot of them love to shitpost. And they like to kind of post, you know, transgressive, depressing humor. You know, and
basically shit that people. They just want to trigger people off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they post like misogynist stuff. They post, you know, a lot of memes. They talk about a lot about Wojak and Pepe.
Yeah.
And kind of how these memes sort of get at the soul of this personality type on the internet. And but there are these two brothers in the movie who are. All these guys come from broken families. They all come from depressing backgrounds. That's kind
no
of
dad.
There's no dad.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are alcoholics, you know.
I do want to say, and this is going to sound awful, right? I'm not saying this to be awful, but the areas where they grew up weren't exactly pleasing on the eyes. I was like, oh my God, they're like Pompeii or something. It's just terrible.
Well, there's that guy. He's a not gay 90 on Twitter.
Yeah, Kyle, is that him?
Yeah, is it Kyle? He dresses like a cowboy.
Yeah.
He dresses. Like this dude was the weirdest out of all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, he
I
was.
Agree.
And
I agree.
We went my wife and I we went and found his Twitter and he hadn't since 2018 on the not gay 90 handle. So I don't know what's going on with him, but he seems like he's kind of a young town drunk in training, you know, the sort of,
well,
like, it doesn't seem like he has any friends. Nope. He walks around and he smokes cigarettes and drinks beer and hangs out in these Texas towns, but he seems very wrapped up in this image of being a cool dude, like with the cowboy hat and the sunglasses and the cowboy killers.
But he's not.
What were you about
to
say?
The whole problem, he's not. This guy really annoyed me because all he could do was chain smoke, drink, and every second word was fuck, fuck, fucking. Fuck. I'm like,
yeah.
You're sitting there and you're complaining about you can't get a girlfriend, but my God, you put yourself in the woman's shoes coming towards you and speaking to you, and all you can say is, oh, fuck this, fuck man, fuck, fuck, fuck. They're not going to last. They're going to run.
Yeah.
You're not the Marlboro Man. Brother, you're not the Marlboro Man. It's not 1974 on television. It's not cool. Okay, the Marlboro Man is a good-looking guy. You're not. You're fat. You drink too much. You chain smoke. You can't construct a sentence without swearing. None of these guys, Hunter, I was watching some going, well, none of these guys get it. I'm no fucking expert on, you know, how to draw women, but by God, I've had no problems. Anyway, all of them look like they're about 10 seconds away from killing themselves. A lot of them. They all look like they want to die. That guy was honestly, there was that scene where that guy was watching that train go past. I thought he's going to jump in front of it. I can see it's going to happen. He's going to kill himself. This one should have been called Despair, the documentary, or something like that. It was a downer.
I thought it was very. What I thought was really interesting was it is a downer, but. You know, I'm younger than you guys, and I grew up with the internet, and so
and that's a failing right there. That's a failing right there.
Sorry,
that's a failing. Yeah, failing. That's not your fault. That's just a failing
of what
of growing up with that culture. It's not your fault. It's nobody's fault. It's just
it's
the internet. John will vouch. Because me and John are only a few months apart, it is the most toxic thing someone could have been raised with. Whereas we didn't have that.
Oh, yeah. The thing about the internet, and the internet has changed a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I spent a lot of time on message boards, right? You know, Stuart, you and I met on a message board.
Mm.
And then the internet became, nowadays the internet's more centralized, right? You know, it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all these, Reddit.
Yeah.
But I really understood the culture they were coming out of, because the internet is an isolating and depressing place if you spend too much time there. No, it really.
I know.
You know, like, yeah. It's, I got to say that right now the internet is more depressing. It's the internet is different now, because to me, you know, you go on Twitter and Facebook and it is just, it's just a rage machine. You know, it's just a constant, it's just a toxic rage machine. But a lot of the internet is, you know, this sort of place where these people with sad lives kind of congregate and talk to each other. Part of, I think, bettering yourself is going out and talking to people.
Yes.
And going out and interacting with people in real life.
Yep.
And you can see versions of these guys going out in real life, but they're still isolating. One is, you have the dude, Kyle, who he goes to bars and he drinks. Right, he's going out, but he's not talking to people. He's going to bars and pounding beers, right? And then you have, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the youngest of all of them.
Sean?
And he goes to the gym. Yeah, Sean.
Yeah.
He goes to the gym and lifts weights, and he's sort of kind of trying to be an alpha Chad, but it just, all he's doing is lifting weights. And he still lives with his mom. He still has all these problems, but he's lifting, which is, it's great.
Yeah.
Go lift weights.
Yeah.
Lifting weights is awesome. I just lifted weights of an hour ago. It was great. But yeah. It's, but you know, there is a version of isolation, you know, with working out that you can, you know, you just, part of it is going out and talking to people and, having friends, interacting, you know, forming connections with people in the real world. Because the thing about the internet is that it's all fake, right? The internet, you meet people on the internet and you project your idea of them, of you, you're projecting what you want them to be onto them, and then you're disappointed inevitably. This is why online dating can be troublesome if you spend too much time.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. You know, no, but you know, you meet girls on the internet and you go, oh man, you know, she must be so great. Oh, you know, she's my dream girl. But a lot of times you're projecting all the stuff you want on, and then you meet them and you're like, oh, crap.
You're building expectation to something that's unattainable, because everybody's got flaws. Yeah, everybody's got faults. And
when I dated girls on the internet, I was like, I wanted to get together and have coffee ASAP. You know, I'm not dragging out talking to you online, because it's pointless. It just ruins everything.
Yep. You get bored. You're just sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, 2 weeks we'd talk and we can't even catch up. I mean, if I started doing the online dating thing, I'd be like, you have a time limit. I'm not going to tell them, but I'm going to secretly give them a time limit. If we're not catching up, bye-bye. I'll move on. Shit, there's plenty of women out there. And, yeah, so. But the thing is with these boys is they all, they just don't know how to communicate. I mean, look at them. Every time they were getting spoken to, they're looking down at their phones. I thought, put the fucking phone down, you idiot. Put it down. Don't look at it.
Yeah. By the way, did you think that the two brothers both looked like Gero?
Oh. That is the first thing when I saw him, I go, that looks like Gero. Shit. Were they brothers or friends?
They got the little beanie on, the long hair, the glasses.
Were they brothers or friends? I thought they were friends.
They were brothers.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not know that. I must have missed that.
They both look
part.
Exactly alike.
I know, but I thought...
They had videos of them as kids. I thought they were brothers.
I thought they were just lifelong friends or something, but... Okay. Oh, that's even worse. When I think about if I was spending time with me and my brother just living like that, I'd be fucking hanging from a rafter somewhere, I think. Yeah.
Well, it shows you it's the parenting that produced them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, they said their parents were alcoholics.
Yeah, yeah. Well, probably because they had a vision into the future of how their kids were going to turn out, I guess. It was like, let's just start now, since we know what they're going to roll out like. But what these boys lack is just, as John was saying earlier, I can't remember who was saying, or my man Hunter, just human interaction is what they lack. They don't know. I don't think they know how to speak to people. I think if a woman came up and spoke to him and just started a conversation, they'd be looking down at their shoes and just basically running away. It's like, no, no. It's a real person. Speak to that person. That's how we communicate before the internet. There was life before the internet. Just a lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very fired up over this because these boys really upset me watching them. It's like, you've got so much potential. You're still very young. You're all 30 and under. You got everything ahead of you, and you're fucking wasting it on really, really stupid message boards. Message boards for dickheads is what it is. Anyway, I digress.
John, what were some...
Well, I got the feeling or vibe that that if it were not for 4chan and whatever sites they're on, they probably would have all committed suicide.
Mm.
It's like, I think the internet is their only venting, because they got no game for talking to girls. They don't seem to have very constructive hobbies on self-improvement, except for the kid in Thornton, Colorado, who's like lifting weights.
Right.
You know, I did get that vibe. Is like, it's weird because it's like, in a way, the internet is their worst temptation and the biggest waste of time for them. It's also probably kept them alive.
You reckon? I think the other way around.
I just don't know what these guys would do if they didn't have it. It's like, I was trying to remember these type of individuals when I was young, and it's really hard to think of a comparison from my youth of any, you know, because even like the losers would join the army or something, you know.
I think these boys are the product of the internet because they all started on it so young. Yeah. And they've been, it's always like mental conditioning to accept the fact or believe the fact that you're a loser and you're an incel and you'll never get a girlfriend. Because right. You're surrounded in that toxic environment of 4chan and all those other sites.
And when they talked about R9K is the board where you go to post depressing stuff and people kind of make fun of you. It's right. Like a masochistic.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah. So that is not conducive to a very sort of fulfilling life by going to post depressing things that are genuinely getting you down to have others make fun of you. So, John, I politely, respectfully disagree with you saying that these boys wouldn't have been alive if not for the net. I think the net has conditioned them into this way.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Both, yeah.
I think there's some truth to both of what you're saying. You know, there is a little bit. I got the internet. It's both can galvanize and suck your life depending on what's going on it and how you use it. But
how you use it is the operative part there.
Yes. And I know a lot of, like John said, I do know older people who didn't grow up with the internet who don't use it, who are kind of like these guys, but they've kind of turned inward in other ways. So a lot of them are just weird bookworms who live off the government and
listen to NPR.
Yeah. I have some people like that in my family. Those are the examples I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. That there are these types of people who, if they didn't have that kind of outlet, where would they be? But at the same time, it could be like it's a toxic thing you can get caught in. And you go on these message boards and social media and, you know, you're throwing stuff out there, but you're kind of throwing stuff out into the void. A lot of these things are just sort of dopamine rush things for people.
Oh,
it's like doing drugs. Yeah. Or drinking, you know, because there's a lot of people who go on the internet a lot and they're miserable all the time. And I know that I have to go, okay, I'm not getting on Facebook or Twitter because it's making me miserable because everybody is insane.
Yeah.
I'm just, I like, there are so many people that I know in real life who I think are nice, normal people. And then I'm friends with them on Facebook and they're unhinged, complete psychopath assholes.
Yep. The internet brings out the worst in people.
Well, because I'm getting their thoughts broadcast unfiltered. And when you post online, you become, you are that post. You are not a human being anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You become just that hateful, you know, insane, weird, or preachy, or annoying, or signally, or whatever, you know, post you just put up. That's all you are. And if someone doesn't like it, you must be destroyed. Right?
Oh, that whole culture of you must be torn down, destroyed, your life ruined. I mean, that's just disgusting. That's just pitchforks and flames.
And of course, that happens to a couple of the guys in here. CantBot got doxxed.
Right.
And lives off of Patreon now. Because he has the Tech War. He had the Tech War podcast. He has a different podcast now. He doesn't do Tech War anymore, which is the one that they talk about. And there's the other guy, one of the brothers did a 2 tickets to Joker post. Remember that was a meme?
I actually laughed at that.
Yes.
I grew up on 1980s National Lampoon, so I don't. That type of humor doesn't bother me.
I gotta say that made me fucking laugh big time. I was like, one ticket to Joker, please. It's like, it's awful.
Holding 2 AK-47s.
Oh, it does. It really does. Yeah.
But I saw tons of those memes, those 2 tickets to Joker memes. Yeah. And it was always something horrific and antisocial. And but it's so funny. It's hilarious because it's transgressive.
But
the guy got red flagged over it and he got his guns taken away.
Yeah, he got him returned in the end because he got under the First Amendment.
Because the judge saw it and went, this is a joke. Come on.
Thank God for that judge who's got a sense. Okay, it's not funny, but it is funny. And the reason why these kids, and they're still kids, really. I mean, we've all been through our 20s, and you're still not there yet. You know, you're still learning and learning and learning. I mean, geez, I'm nearly 50 in a few years, and I'm still learning shit. But you're still a kid in my book. So therefore, the more people get outraged, the more these kids are going to push their buttons. So it's really a two-way street. The more you get outraged, the more you're enticing these kids to push the envelope, if you will.
Well, in one scene in the film that I thought was so insightful, and this is something that I want all of these kind of, you know, Gen X / boomer moms to watch to understand the mindset of the youth, because they don't get it. They talk about this article where it talks about how your kids are being radicalized online. And so what you need to do with them is watch programs like John Oliver. Okay.
Jesus.
Watch it with them and talk about why it's funny.
Yeah.
Give me a break. All right. That is the exact kind of thing that will make your kid hate you even more and make and want to tear down your stupid neoliberal wine mom worldview. Okay.
Yeah.
because that is the new, okay. You destroyed Christianity and you replaced it with this. All right. Now the kids see that and they're going to go, that's what I need to rebel against.
Yep.
Okay. And so if you're like, all right, son, we're going to sit down and watch Trevor Noah.
Oh.
And then we're going to explain why it's funny. That kid is going to go, is going to sit there gritting his teeth and go, oh, I can't wait to go on the internet and destroy and just sodomize the sacred cow. You
fucking
know what I'm saying?
Trevor Know Nothing. I hate that guy. He's such a twat. He really is.
Well, and there's this whole generation that was raised on my generation. You know, was the lefty, the neoliberal version of my generation was raised on Jon Stewart, right?
Mm.
They all learned. They were trained to. This is the their version of arguing is just being smug and annoying.
Right.
And just going to go, oh, you think that? Is that funny? You think that? Oh, that's so stupid. That's not, a, you know, they that that's to them is arguing.
You know what?
And
yeah, go on, Hannah. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I'll just wrap it up and say that, you know, Trevor Noah is like, you know, he's the Z team, Jon Stewart, you know? So.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
If you were to take that portion of what you were saying about making kids to sit down and watch something with you, who would you pick of those sort of left-leaning guys? I would actually pick Bill Maher because he does make sense at times. I'd say he'd be the smartest.
To watch with kids?
I mean, if you were put in that position where you had to, or that parent decided you're going to do this, Trevor Noah would not be the person you'd be doing, or Oliver. They're just wrong.
If I was going to pick somebody, I'd pick someone who's like you said, Bill Maher. Mm. He's the guy who's willing to disagree with the cathedral on things. He's willing to disagree with the hegemony. Mm. He's willing to go after certain things. So, you know, he's okay. I don't know. It's hard to say with kids because, you know, they're always going to resent it.
I think Bill Maher's a lot smarter than the others are. They just, you know, or who's that other idiot? What's his name? Here's that show at nights.
Seth Oliver. Myers?
No. The crazy one. What's his name? He's got glasses. Not John Oliver, not Seth Meyers. I can't remember his name. No, it's not Conan. Very famous one, but
Jimmy Kimmel.
No,
Jimmy Fallon.
No, it's not those two. It's fuck me. I can't think of his name. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
He's one of the top ones, and he just when Trump got elected, he just went berserk on him, which is
pretty... Oh gosh, that's actually a pretty big field to choose from.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but his name will come.
It's not helping.
Narrow it down.
Oh, you mean all of them?
Yeah.
Cenk Uygur?
Nah.
Yeah, talking about Cenk Uygur? I don't know.
I need to look up what you're doing. Stephen Colbert.
Oh my gosh.
How could I forget Stephen
He's
Colbert?
So forgettable.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He looks like
a mantis.
You don't see people, you know, when he was on Comedy Central... He was kind of the B-team Jon Stewart, right?
Yeah.
But now that he's moved to Letterman's slot, you don't ever hear stuff about him.
Because he's like the C-team Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
So now he's like, oh, they couldn't get Jon Stewart, couldn't convince him to come out of retirement. Let's hire Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. I don't know. Colbert, you just never hear about him. Like, does anybody watch the show? I don't know.
Probably. No, I don't know anybody who watches him. I don't know anybody who watches like any of that stuff. All I know is I grew up on, you know, I'm old enough to have seen Johnny Carson in the 70s and 80s, and you actually never knew how he voted.
No.
He did not take sides. He hit both sides evenly.
Smart guy. That's a smart way to take the approach. Just leave your politics out of it, and you vote how you vote, or you don't vote at all.
I couldn't tell that with Leno either.
Leno didn't really let you in on it.
Like, he would make fun of Clinton, but he'd make fun of Bob Dole and, you know, whoever else. Like, he was like, I like cars, and, you know.
Bob Dole couldn't move his arm, you know, that sort of thing.
Letterman, though, was one of the first, like, partisan guys, you know, in the big late night slots, right?
Yeah, not until he got to CBS. When he was on NBC, he was actually funny, and he just seemed to hate everybody, and then... He seemed like a spoof of a cranky talk show host that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And then when he moved to CBS, he became exactly what he was making fun of.
Yeah, because eventually he became kind of the angry boomer.
Yeah, and he just seemed to hate his job. He seemed like a really just
nasty person.
person, and you know, he wasn't funny anymore.
I think getting passed over for Johnny Slott.
Oh, he's bitter as hell.
You know, he never got over it.
No, never.
Yeah. Getting back to these young boys, and that Kyle one, I found him to be the, it's going to sound awful, the biggest loser of the lot. He's really one firearm away from a massacre. He's just something.
To me, his version of turning inward on himself, you know, some people, you know, the one kid works out and lifts weights. That's cool. That's a constructive way of turning inward on yourself.
Yeah.
Kyle, he's very much like, I'm going to be the cowboy who smokes cigarettes and drinks. And my thing is going to be, at least from the documentary, what I took away from it was that sort of being this transient sort of Johnny Cash type figure was that's how he sees himself.
He's like Johnny Cash on donuts.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm going to kind of go.
He lives off pastries because he eats pastries and then has his beer and his cigarette.
Oh, my God.
I'm
going to
walk around in Lubbock and, like, drink beer in front of this mural of Buddy Holly.
It's like, you know? Kane from Kung Fu. You just swear, walk the earth of Lubbock.
It's like Cantbot, you know, he's a funny guy. Like, him talking to that reporter about, like, Trump bringing the city of Atlantis. That is hilarious.
That was good. Yeah, he's a funny dude.
That was
if I was
so
running
funny.
A comedy show, I'd hire that guy to write for me.
Oh my gosh!
He was the wittiest. I will admit, he was the wittiest.
He's very witty. He hangs out at bookstores. You know, he loves philosophy, and the way he attacks. He's very funny because he equally. My wife goes, "What is his ideology?" I said, "I genuinely don't know." He seems to go after.
You can't tell. You cannot tell.
There's a show that's on in Britain. There's a show on in Britain. There's a television show in Britain called The Undateables. And it's going to sound awful, but hear me out. It's a show about people with mental retardations and disabilities on dating sites with other, like, people who are the same. These boys seem like candidates for that. And there's nothing physically wrong with them. They're just so fucking introverted.
Well, there's nothing physically wrong with them that isn't fixable, right?
That's right. This is all a
mental block. If Campbot lost weight, he'd be much more appealing.
And
he's smart, he's funny.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
But, you know.
The Garrow twins. I mean, you know, one of them got
the
a girlfriend.
Garrow, one of them gets a GF. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, one of the Garrow to kind of start to understand interactions with women. So there is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel for some of these guys, but you know, they all have problems that are fixable. Just some of them need therapy. Some of them need to lose weight. Some of them need to stop drinking and smoking.
And
you know,
some of them buy straight into INFJ, Briggs Myers bullshit. I took that test as well. I came out as INTJ. I'm like, whatever, fuck that. It's like,
yeah, that's what I'm on there as, INTJ.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. But I don't buy into it and say, oh, yeah, my life is a world of shit. And no, fuck that. I love living, mate. It's the best thing ever. But unfortunately, these boys don't seem to understand that.
Yeah, they live too much on the internet.
I think these boys as well have such an elevated opinion of women, which Mark Manson said in his book Models, which is the greatest book any man could ever read. I've read it 6 times in a year. It's fucking incredible.
Which book is that?
It's called Models by Mark Manson. It's fucking incredible. I'm actually when I spoke to you boys a few months back about actually doing a book review, that's the book I want to do on my own. Because it's an astonishing, life-changing book. But Manson says in his book that a lot of men, unfortunately, seem to put women on this pedestal where they live on some sort of pussy planet and select who's going to get the pussy. And it's like, no, it's not that way at all. Women are just men. Women are just human beings like the rest of us. But they guys put a lot of guys put them on such a massive pedestal that they're untouchable. But women are saying, well, for God's sake, just come and talk to me, will you?
A lot of guys just don't understand how they work. You know, they approach them as though like, oh, I just want someone to be nice to me and stuff like that. It's you know, they just don't understand that they're different and what women respond to. And
I've spoken to a few of my female friends, and every single one of them I've asked them, I said, what is the main characteristic you want in a man? First of all, they say, make me laugh. If they say, if you can make me laugh, you're there. Number two, I said, what about looks or personality? What's more important than all of them, personality? They said looks doesn't really matter. She said, Stu, guys don't understand. Looks don't mean shit, really. You got to have some sort of attractive features, it's not that high up. One of them goes, it's not as high as guys tend to think.
I think looks matter more than women say they do. Do they matter as much as they do to men? No. They matter more than women say they do. I will say that because maybe my confidence changed or whatever, but when I lost weight, I got a lot more attention from girls, just saying.
That's because you, and I did the same, because I lost 20 something kilos and you feel better about yourself. Therefore, it's all a domino effect. When you feel better about yourself, it shows you're brimming with confidence. You're more outgoing, you're more this, and that aura, that there is an aura around you that women sense.
Yes. No, you're right. I think that it's not something you can totally discount.
No. It's not something you can discount. My friends weren't saying that it was, looks have no bearing at all. They do have a bearing, right. But it's not as high as guys tend to think it is.
No. No, because guys think that because guys prize it so much, right?
Yeah.
Guys definitely, you know, women, ugly women have a much tougher uphill battle, you know.
I think they do, but I will speak personally for myself, you know. And I've always used this scenario, there can be a good-looking woman who's a 10 out of 10, but have the personality of a bus on fire. Basically,
You do not want to date a 10 out of 10.
You don't.
Know? You don't want to be with a girl like that. You want because they're too, you know, it's too precarious of a situation. You know?
Well, I mean, but that all comes down to perception, Hunter, because to you, they may be a 10, but to themselves, they may have a low self-esteem, think they're only a 6 and don't think we're as good as looking as they really are.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about like personal taste. I'm talking about like if you were doing the rate, like, okay, what is it really? You know, girls who are like supermodels, you know, I think you want to stay away from.
Well, I wouldn't go near supermodels anyway. I don't really get attracted right. to them to begin with. It's just my personal preference. I would much rather have a woman with a personality who can make me laugh, who can make me think, and can hold a conversation, and sure. still be good, you know, good looking to me, because their looks then become highly elevated, or elevated higher, I should say, because they're that intelligent, as opposed to having a woman who's got zero intelligence but all looks. In the end, that's going to fade out fast. There's only so far you can get on good looks and think, can you even talk about this?
Sure.
Do you even know about this particular point in history, which everybody should know? Jesus Christ, it's going to be a battle. There's going to be a real struggle here. But my point is, what I'm saying is, and I will wrap it up because I'm talking way too much today, is that these boys are placing women's perceptions of themselves, of these guys, way, 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 way too high.
I agree. The next thing I want to address with this documentary, though, is that I don't know about Australia, Stu, but in America, John, you definitely can speak to this. Mm-hmm. There has definitely been a moral panic over the guys in this documentary.
Yeah.
This movie, the incel phenomenon, incel is a common insult. The media will both call angry, isolated males incels, and it will simultaneously, out of one side of their mouth, use it as an insult, and out of the other side go, these guys are the biggest threat. They're going to kill everybody. They're all shooters. They're all psychos. You know, they're treated today the way Muslim jihadis were treated in the early 2000s. Seriously. Well, I mean, wouldn't you say that's accurate?
Because they want to play both sides. They want to play both sides of the issue.
Yes, absolutely.
They want a double, you know, what they really want is a double standard. And of course, it also prevents them from talking about serious, real threatening violent criminals of different orientations. Mm. And so it's like an easy target. It's like heavy metal records. And Al Gore in the 80s, it's an easy target. It sounds scary. I don't know why. I mean, why would you be terrified of a nerd?
Well,
it's hilarious in many ways.
Well, and the whole incel thing too is, it's something that the message it sends is that if you're not having a lot of sex, you know,
yeah.
Well.
Oh yeah, there's a boomer media. That's the boomer media conditioning that if you're not banging 30 chicks right out of college, there's something wrong with you. And telling them they need to fuck around like the women on Sex and the City, where they act like gay men and just fuck everything that moves. Yeah, and they're boring too. That doesn't help.
Yeah, no, I mean,
vapid, you know, nonsense.
I mentioned
it's very annoying.
Oh, shut up, John. It's still sick.
I was talking to our buddy Walter on Twitter.
Uh huh.
Movie dweller.
Right,
and he was talking about Friends and the culture of what with Friends. And I said, Friends is one of the reasons millennials are depressed, because that movie was like, when you're an adult, I mean,
TV show, don't pull a sticks axe and hammer, Gone with the Wind, a series.
Oh, Gone with the Wind, that series.
Yeah, they pulled that series.
They pulled that series from HBO Max, Gone with the Wind.
From 1938.
Excuse me, I'm going to go worship this tree in my backyard. Why does my stick sound like David Lynch? I don't know. That TV show, it kind of sold adulthood as cushy life, not a lot of work, and tons of casual consequence-free sex. That was the message I got from Friends. And I wasn't sitting there going, oh, man, that's what I want. I was just sitting there going, you know, these guys, they all have sex with each other. They don't work. They always sit in the coffee shop, you know.
Right.
And there's no backlash for anything. And so I remember thinking about that this media image is that if you're not having sex, you're a loser. And so the incel insult is like, well, you're not, these guys aren't having sex, therefore they're dangerous. Right? That's the message you get.
It's all that
from it.
Bottled up testosterone, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're not having sex, therefore they.
But then on the other side of the coin, you're seeing these guys getting nailed on Me Too accusations that when you read the details, it's like, oh, it's just an ugly guy asking a good looking girl out and getting rejected.
And
the girl said she felt creeped out.
Buyer's remorse as well with some of them.
Yes, yes.
And that's another thing. It's both, like you said, John, and it's both sides of the issue. You're not having sex, well, you're a loser. You're having lots of sex, well, you must be a monster.
Right. They want their cake and eating it too. And
so it's one of those things where you can't, they set up a no-win scenario. It's the Kobayashi Maru of.
It is. It's like, I'm glad I'm not a young person these days.
Yeah, no, it's,
this would be hell. This pop culture would be hell.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, one thing I appreciated about this documentary was that it looked at these guys in a way that I thought was fair. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was trying to demonize anybody.
No.
You know, because these guys are all very different from each other, too. Like, they picked very different people.
Yeah, there's a contrast of loneliness here.
Yes. Like,
oh, that's a running theme is loneliness. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have alcoholism. You have the Garo twins. You have You have the uber nerd with Cantbot. You've got the sort of angry gym bro. You know, there is a contrast of isolation and loneliness, like you said. And I think that what I liked about this documentary, and I was recommending it to people who I think have a warped understanding from media about male rage on the internet. Because I was like, a lot of it comes from a valid place and an interesting place and a place that's worth exploring and listening to and taking seriously, rather than what the media does. Like, I was laughing at some of the media stories they shared, like the guys who do it for the lulz. I mean, I remember when that story came out, me and my friends shared that and laughed at how stupid it was.
Yeah, I saw that headline. I was like, oh, God, they got taken again.
Oh, I remember that story. Like, these guys do it for the lulz. These people from Encyclopedia Dramatica. I remember my friends and I were all, like, howling laughing at that. You know, because that was definitely a time where I was spending too much time on the internet. But boy, you know.
And the thing I found funny as well, this was, I've actually heard some of these terms used by my two older boys. I'm like, neat. I've heard that before. Is this what it means?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, neat. Not in education, employment, or training.
Yeah. Yeah. One question I need to pose about this was this whole subculture that they've got of these kids, the predominant way of thinking is going to be that they're all white males. How many black males do you think are out there?
That's a good question, because that's one thing about it, is that all these guys are white. I mean, maybe one of them are Jewish, but I don't know. I mean, they all seem to be white guys.
But the general consensus would be amongst the people out there who are rebelling against or worried or fearful of these, they're all white males. But
right, that's the general.
You're gonna have blacks, and Asians out there as well, who are just as angry as these ones.
Oh, you know, like the Japanese incel is the otaku, right? It's the shut-in. Right? It's the guy who watches anime and has body pillows and, you know, has a waifu, and that's sort of. That's something that, you know, that's kind of taken off in this culture in the States, is the waifu and the body pill. You know, it's something that they make fun of on 4chan and stuff like that. But yeah, no, you're right, Stu. That's something I hadn't thought about, is that all these dudes are white guys. And that's the perception, is that these are white guys. But I think part of it is that that's who the media isolates and vilifies, right?
Yeah.
You know, white guy is like it's a pejorative, right?
But this documentary does not help that cause, because they really could have gone and gotten somebody who was black or Asian at least, and then the people...
Right, there's no diversity.
There's no.
That's a good point.
So it really perpetuates the myth that it's all angry white kids, and yeah, that sort of bothered me. I'm like, oh... Because don't tell me
I don't know
no...
if that's on purpose or if that's because that's what the media presents, and so it's trying to give kind of a contrast of that white male loneliness.
But they could have really, yeah. I understand.
I'm not going to say that that's a malicious thing on the part of the documentary, because I don't feel like these guys are being maliciously portrayed.
They're not being maliciously portrayed, but they are vilified in the eyes of basically everybody else.
I'm hard pressed to think. Yeah. Well, I'm hard pressed to think. Is there a black incel troll or any non?
Oh, there'd have to be, John.
I'm sure there are.
I would assume there are, but you know, I just like, but are there? It's like maybe none were popular enough.
But I figure
there has to be a few.
There's got to be some that are in that that ecosystem, but you know, I think that maybe. The memes here and the sort of culture it comes out of is probably, you know, white guy stuff. Maybe that's just I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, it feels like a very honky thing. Yeah.
Not really. I mean, well, if you look at the picture of Wojak, it's really a nondescript, non-color sort of thing. You know, apart, you could say, well, it's not Asian because of the eyes. You know, truth be told, but really the Wojak caricature is really anybody. You know, we should get a t-shirt like we are all Wojak. I don't know. But it's a really nondescript depiction of anybody, who anybody could be. So I think there are
It's kind of weird though, because we have some black friends on Facebook, and they have the sort of kind of
traits.
They'll post these videos where they kind of make fun of these black dudes who do like kind of male self-improvement videos.
Yeah.
And it's the stuff around it, it feels different to me. I don't know. But that's just something I just thought of.
It's a different vibe.
It just has a different culture.
To black listeners. Yeah, they're speaking to black listeners. It's like there's one that a friend of ours makes fun of pretty viciously.
I know who you're thinking
of. I know who you're on about. Yeah.
Right, and this guy is an incel making videos for black people and who are either incels or, you know, maybe wondering why they're not getting any action. But it's funny because he's giving dating advice, but then he's saying, don't date black women. Like, yeah, because I watched a couple of these videos just for my own, you know, amusement, and I'm just like, what the hell is this guy saying? Why is anybody watching this guy?
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, I think we all know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. He looks like Frankenstein's monster.
Right. He looks like Blackenstein. He actually has hair.
He does. He does. He really does.
Every time our friend posts his videos, but every time my friend posts his videos, I would always put a Steezo video up because he's got a haircut like the late rapper Steezo with that eraser head haircut. So yeah,
oh,
but yeah, I was trying to figure out who that guy's audience is. He gets a lot of clicks, lots of views. Strange, but maybe white guys or watch white incels or watching them. I'm not sure.
Well, I think they're on boards and messing around. You know, I think it's just I don't know. I don't know. But that is interesting though, because I hadn't thought about the racial disparity. Because I guess when the media talks about incels, it's like assumed that they're talking about white guys. Yeah. You know.
And the thing is as well. I mean, John, you said that. You know, is there any? Well, I was just going to say that you question, are there any black incels? But I mean, oh fuck, where was I going with it? I've lost my train of thought. Don't worry. I'll get back to it in a moment. I'll get back to it.
Well, I will note, and this is an interesting point that I just thought of. The worst school shooting was that Virginia Tech shooting.
Yeah,
that was done Asian by, like, wasn't he Chinese or
Korean? He was Korean.
And I think he was an incel type.
Was he Korean or was
Korean,
he
might have been. I can't remember.
I don't know. It was one of them.
Yeah.
I cannot remember, but it was a few years ago, and I tried to forget about it after it happened. But he was an incel. He was probably the earliest incel, you know, spree killer at the time.
Oh, then he had the trench coat kids from the 90s, I guess. Yeah, them first.
They seemed like
edgy, like Matrix Nazis, you know?
Yeah, they were like...
Like, I listened to KMFDM and I love Hitler and play Doom, you know?
Yeah, and they had like liberal parents and... But they had prom dates and stuff. Like, they did have girlfriends. It was a weird thing. It just, there's a lot about that story that hasn't made much sense. And I live in the, you know, near ground zero of all that. And,
what else they had?
There's been so much revisionist history. I don't know what to believe anymore.
You know what else they had? They had trading cards, man. They had their own trading cards.
Yeah. I think the one that scared everybody, they got the media on the big, you know, gas huffing spree for this stuff was that was his name, Elliot Rogers. I'm not
Elliot Rogers.
I think that was the first time I heard the phrase incel and all that stuff.
So Elliot Rogers, for those who don't know, he was called the Supreme Gentleman. If you hear the term the Supreme Gentleman, they're talking about Elliot Rogers. But Elliot Rogers' dad was a producer of the Hunger Games films, and Elliot Rogers did a video where he did like a manifesto basically talking about how he can't get a girlfriend. And so he's going to go kill people. And he went on a killing spree and he was gunned down. But you know, he was an explicitly incel killer. Like, he was like, yeah, I am an incel, therefore I must kill. You know, that was his that was his manifesto. And it was a big deal. And you know, but you'll see him in a lot of, I think you see him pop up in this documentary in some of those clips, those songs.
Like brief clips and stuff. Was Sky King an incel?
No, I think Sky King was more, he might have been, but I remember him talking about racial stuff. Like, you know, they're like, oh, down, you'll get a job. He's like, oh, I'm white, nobody wants me. Yeah. You know?
We know nothing about that guy, really. They kind of cloaked his past and everything.
Yeah, he kind of got memory holed.
Yeah, that was the most outrageous story, but.
Oh, no. This shit's way over my head. I do not spend time on these boards. You know, people want to do it, go for it. I don't care, you know, as long as there's nothing bad comes out of it. But I just, all these terminologies you're using and just all these names, like, straight over the head. I am not got fucking time for these things. I really don't have time. I don't have time to
Jello Biafra once did my old drink said that after the Littleton shooting, you know, the Columbine massacre or whatever, he said, well, the world needs more garage bands. Because his idea, if these kids actually had a proper outlet, they would, you know, like a garage band, then it would be a bit better.
Cause oh, like
this didn't happen in the 60s.
Like Aid Skrillex's garage band.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about Aid Skrillex's garage band. Oh, that's so funny. Like his mother put together that.
Had a garage band.
Oh, John. Okay. Because, you know, that guy became a meme because of his, you know, shenanigans.
Right.
Well, his mom put together like a video where he was like doing his big thing where he was like, I'm going to do my band. And they produced this video for it. And it was so much like mommy make me a band thing. It was so cringe.
yeah.
He tried to like, oh, I'm just focusing this into my hardcore punk band. It was so pathetic. It was awful.
Yeah.
No, sir. We need more Paul Revere and the Raiders and less of that.
But you talked about where did that energy go. You know, Stuart, you were talking about how it goes into the internet. Well, John, maybe Jello's on to something. Like maybe, you know, they're not being this digital hole to just throw all your stuff into. Maybe throwing that into, you know, a band or something creative when you had less options, you know, of digital addiction, maybe there's something there.
So is Jello saying then that bands like Green Day, NoFX, you know, 5 years later basically could have been just shitlords on the internet and not formed Green Day? And okay. I mean, they're all pre-internet. I mean, they're all basically garage bands when we're starting out.
Yeah.
You know, they were just like a more conducive time a better time, I should say, for their lives, but there was no internet.
Right. Right.
So we could have got Billy Joe Armstrong on 4chan as, you know, piss drinker.
Making Pepe memes.
He wouldn't be making Pepe memes, not him. No, he'd be pearl clutching.
No.
Screeching about something else. But.
Well, do you guys have any other subjects you want to broach with that feel when no GF? Feeling no girlfriend?
Not really. I think these boys are horribly misguided. And I will say this to them, if any of them do listen, which they won't, get the fuck off the internet. Get off of it. It's just toxic. Go and get some
John,
sun.
What about you?
I think it's a lot of this has to do with the demasculation or emasculation of the American male.
Yeah, I agree. I think
The last 30 years, I think it's been a boomer thing, and it's gotten worse with Gen X, and it's probably going to be even worse with millennials. But you're seeing men not guided toward really venting their testosterone the right way, and they end up being obese guys with seemingly very low T.
Emasculation, only emasculation if the individual allows it to be. You can't be dictated by the internet.
But they don't have that father figure to guide them and say, hey, look, quit listening to this nonsense. You know?
Well, look, and the reason it's gotten worse is that the family has been completely destroyed. It's gotten worse because the family's been destroyed, and the media constantly tells you
that. I agree with that.
That you are evil.
When family values was demonized, that phrase was, that was like a negative. It was a negative label when you said
there was
family
the family values,
values
tour.
Right. Because they were, because Bob Dole was running on Family Values and they had to rip on him, and you know, Bush 41 did as well, you know, and they had to rip on that.
You know, when you destroy the family, you leave destruction in your wake.
Yeah.
And, of course.
These guys come from destroyed families. And so, you know, it's just you know, that is something that needs to be really stressed.
The term patriarch is a dirty word these days.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, so
toxic masculinity. How many times do you hear that?
So many people grow up without dads. And you know, the dad is, if you're a girl, your dad is the first man you fall in love with. And that can be something that, you know, if you're betrayed by that, it sets a very bad tone for men. And if you're a male, your dad's the guy who's supposed to guide you. And if he disappears, well, what do you have? You know, Jordan Peterson.
You know, right. Oh.
Well, that the reason Jordan Peterson is popular is because fatherhood has been destroyed.
Yes. Otherwise, that guy would have no traction.
No, because everything he says is just basic, stupid common sense. But a lot of people don't hear it because they don't have a dad.
Right. You know, in my generation, we at least had Sam Kinison and Andrew Dice Clay to go on their comedy albums when we needed that guidance.
And you know what?
Dickery, dickery, duck.
I'm over here now.
Hang on a second. Wait, you bring up a good – inadvertently, you bring up a good point, John. These boys, literally, when they try and speak to women, they're like Andrew Dice Clay. Hey, baby, those tits look like your cantaloupes. That's how they speak, because they don't know any other fucking way to speak to women.
Right.
Guys, it's not. I mean, like, I'm honestly not trying to come across some sort of, male authority on how to pick up women, but it's basic common fucking sense. Just talk to them, you know.
Right.
Don't talk to them like Dice Clay. But that's all these boys would know. I mean, look at that Kyle guy. He's dancing with 2-foot Mexican women. It's like, it looks ridiculous. It was probably the saddest thing I saw in the whole documentary. And there's a lot of sad moments in this thing. It was depressing as shit. But watching this big, lumbering, oafish, you know, cowboy wannabe dancing with this midget Mexican was like, what am I watching here? It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Why am I watching this thing? Thanks, Hunter.
Well, yeah, well, that feel when no girlfriend. What do we want to rate it? John, you go first.
I give it a 7.
7.
Yeah. I liked it.
Dude, what about you?
It was interesting. I wasn't bored.
I'm going to give it 5.5, but give me a second to explain why. It's not because of the content and how it was made. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the depression factor. And I wanted to go out and just say to these boys, please, just get off the fucking internet. You don't need it.
Right.
I would recommend it. Absolutely recommend people watch it. Well, I'd say guys watch it. And I'd say, you know what, girls watch it as well. Then get some sort of small insight into a small subculture of young men out there and how they feel. Because when you're speaking to these guys and you're speaking down to them because you want to empower yourself, you're creating the you're feeding the germ that lives inside that incel even further. And, you know, take, you may not be attracted to these guys in this one. You know, you got Camp Body looks like Christ knows what. You got Marlboro Man. You got one that looks like fucking Rorschach from Watchmen. Whatever. You know, you may not be attracted to them, but look at how they are and garner insight. Because if there was a female version of this, I'd love to see it. I really would, just to get an insight into how the female thinks. So, yes, I recommend that, Gen Z, they call them, watch it, male and female. And see if males, see if that reflects how you are, if these boys reflect how you are. And girls, watch it to get an insight into what they're like, how they're feeling.
Yeah, I give it a 7. I think it's well worth seeing. It was available on Amazon Prime, but it's not now. It was part of a South by Southwest program, but I think it's going to be available again pretty soon. But the reason I liked it was it took what's a media boogeyman and gave a very, I think, fair and honest look at a lot of these guys. And I think gave them a fair shake, you know, gave an honest look at it. So it's a movie I highly recommend. It's free of the hysteria and pearl clutching that is normally makes it impossible to get an accurate look at this subject. So, you know, definitely give it a watch, especially if you're if you're not plugged into online culture, watch it. If you're plugged into online culture, watch it, because there's a lot here. So, yeah, highly recommended. That feel when no girlfriend, FW, no
Jesus. Just bring up one last thing, and I will sort of slightly disagree with you and say that there was really nothing in here that gives them a fair shake. It treats them fairly, but what it doesn't do is show anything redeeming about any of them. There was nothing there. Okay, they probably don't do this, so it's a little hard to say, but there's nothing there showing that any of them do some sort of charity work.
Well, but okay.
Hang on, one second. Because what it does, you'll get the person out there who doesn't like this crowd, and after 83 minutes say, see, we were right. Look at what they're like. They are dangerous. And there's nothing there for them to say, oh, geez, I didn't know that about this guy. You know, that's okay. That's sort of slightly changed my opinion of that individual. There's nothing there.
I disagree, because I don't necessarily need to see a guy doing charity work to think he's a good dude.
No, it doesn't have to be charity. It has to be something that would be out of the box that most people
I think CantBot is plenty out of the box. I think he's hilarious, you know, and I thought he was very funny, and we see that he's witty, that he is a funny writer, that he's an interesting guy. One of these guys, you know, he gets a GF. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, their relationship's going to go anywhere or do anything. I don't know. They may have already broken up. But one of them does kind of get that, get to where he's able to have a relationship with a woman. That's redeeming.
But that,
walks away and says, well, hold on. Let me finish.
All right.
If somebody walks away from this and says, these guys are all the devil, well, you know, I think the movie gives a fair view, and if you walk away not liking them, I think that's a fair assessment to make. I don't think the movie's job has to be to make you like them. I think it just has to be to give you a fair assessment, and I think it's a fair assessment. Some of these guys I didn't find likable at all, but some of them I did. And so I think it kind of depends on the personalities. But it's free of the fear mongering. Like, one of the guys does the edgy posting online, but the movie does a good job of saying that's all it is edgy jokes on the internet. This guy isn't actually planning on going into a theater, a Joker screening, and shooting people up like that dude in New Mexico or Colorado or whatever.
It was Aurora, Colorado.
Colorado. Okay. I think that it did a good job of painting a picture of these guys are depressed. They're not necessarily violent or evil. They're
But what the documentary's saying is, and I'll try and take it from the side of the people who are scared of these guys and say, you know what, it paints them as this and it shows they won't do anything. Not yet. That's going to be the two words you're going to use.
I didn't get that impression.
Okay. No, I didn't get it. It almost looked like they were all near suicide or, you know, just going to very quiet.
And also the ones suicide. If I'm going to go, I'm going to take a bunch of years with you. I'm not saying they're going to do this. I'm really not. I'm trying to really place myself into the mind of the ones who were so scared of these people. And they will conjure up any sort of scenario and say, yeah, not yet. Yeah, they probably will kill themselves and a bunch of others. Which brings me back to my point of trying to give some sort of small redeeming factor, something. Give me something. But there was nothing there for them to justify these, to help these boys out and say, look, they're not dangerous. That's all. Not for me. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I know they're not going to do nothing. Or I'm sure they're not going to. I'm certainly not scared of them.
Right.
But I'm not the one targeting them.
Sure.
So,
well, guys, you know, that wraps up our first Doc Month episode. Pretty good. Pretty good discussion, I think.
Yeah.
So next time we're going to do, is it John's pick next one?
Yep.
It can be. Sure.
Cool. This will be a good one. It's done by a, you know, friend of ours. So it's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, anything to add, Stu, before we go?
No. Keep it a watch, I'd say. It's very interesting. And it was nice. You know what? Nice trim, 83 minutes. It went by really quick.
Yeah, it's very short.
Yeah.
It's a good tight movie.
It was like their sex lives. Very short and empty.
John, you got anything? Yes. John, anything else for you?
No. That's it for me.
All right. Well, guys, I'm just going to go ahead and sign out and say adios.
And I will say that, yeah, Thornton, Colorado looks about as bad as it looks in that movie.
Yeah, so does Lubbock. My goodness.
What about El Paso? El Paso, sorry if anyone lives there listening, yeah, but my God.
I've never been to El Paso and frankly don't care. I actually, you know what, I have been there and it's, yeah.
You forgot about it already?
Yeah, I mean, it's forgettable. It's, you know, not a place you want to spend any time. So.
All right.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say adios.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.